then turn to John 1. I'm sorry, y'all. John 1. If you didn't hear me before, there are three books that deal with the Christmas story. And the one I want to bring to you today is John chapter 1. Now, that is the pre-Christmas story. Then you go to Luke 2, that is the Christmas story. And then you go to Matthew 2, that's the post-Christmas story, no doubt a couple years later, because there you find him in a house and not in a manger. Think with me as we look here at Christ in this particular chapter. We see an infinite person. We see an infinite power. We see an infinite provision. We're going to show you that God has revealed himself seven different ways. Only one way is sufficient to get us to heaven, and it's through Jesus Christ. And then we're going to see an infinite purpose as he came. Think with me, first of all, here, the infinite person, the Lord Jesus Christ. Now, you find that there in John chapter 1, in verse 1 and verse 2. Now, let me help you here. In the beginning was the Word. Now, that's something, in the beginning. Are you familiar with another text that gives in the beginning? You go to Genesis chapter 1, verse 1, but in the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth. And when I think of that passage, it's looking forward. But when I see John 1:1, in the beginning God, it goes back to eternity past. So one goes forward in the book of Genesis, but the other one goes back. Now, in the beginning was. Now, the word was here is a word here that it is in the tense of the verb, which is the imperfect tense, which means as far back as you can go. There's no ending. How far back you want to go in eternity, no matter what, he was already there.
Amen.
Jesus Christ was never created. Now, we know Jesus was born, but Christ has always been. So we recognize in that, now, in the beginning was, that is in the tense of the verb, imperfect tense, no matter how far back you go in eternity and time, whenever beginning had its beginning, he was already there. Was the Word. Now we have the Word, we have the inspired Word, I have in front of me. Amen?
Amen.
We also have the incarnate Word, the Lord Jesus Christ. And the Word was, there it is in the same word, W-A-S, is in the imperfect tense. Not only was whatever beginning had its beginning, but he was with God. Because God had no beginning, indeed, was Jesus Christ. The word with here is an interesting word. It's a word that literally has the idea of fellowship. Face to face. God the Father and God the Son and God the Holy Spirit. But there was a time when they didn't fellowship. That was on Calvary. When the Father turned his back on the Son. But here we see an eternity past here. And the word was with God. Now, let's read this again. And the Word was God. Now, let me just stop right here. I want you to know that Jehovah's Witnesses love to put a there in this passage. That's a big mistake. Are you ready for this? It's also wrong to say, and the Word was the God. If you say the Word was the God, you mean all there is of God is found in the Word. You just left out the Father and the Holy Spirit. Thank God your King James Bible just tells it the way it really is.
Amen.
And the Word was God. The same was in the beginning with God. So here we see his person in the Christmas story. But no matter how far back in eternity you go, he was already there. Then we think of his power. Secondly, an infinite power. You find that there in verse 3 through verse 8. Now, we know here, and if you happen to mark your Bible, verse 3, you could write Colossians 1, verse 16. All things were made by him, and without him was not anything made that was made. There was nothing made that he didn't make. And we know that in the beginning God created. So that is a statement here, the fact that he is God. Now, there are three words two of them are found in verse, one in verse 4, one in verse 5, because I see here a great power that he has. Would you mark these words? Verse 4, in him was life. Underline that word. In him also, verse 5, was light. Now, life here is God's, man's answer to deadness. When Jesus Christ came 2,000 years ago, he came to a dead planet. Matter of fact, Jesus Christ is the only one that was ever born that was born alive spiritually. Everyone else was born dead.
That's true.
You may be alive physically, but born dead spiritually. So he came to a dead planet. And when I think here of this wonderful truth here of life, and then that second word, and the light. Now that's the answers to man's darkness. You know, the world is in total darkness. The reason why the world is in total darkness, because man is in total darkness. Turn with me to the book of 1 Peter, 2 Peter, for just a moment. Let me illustrate this truth. When God gave us his word, but look there in verse 19 of 2 Peter chapter 1. We have also a sure word of prophecy, wherein do you do well, that you take heed as into a light that shineth in a dark place. I don't know the darkest place than the soul of a man or a woman without Jesus Christ. There is no place that's any darker than that. Remember when you saw that light shine into your heart and you came to know Christ? That's when the light flooded. The light came in, and I'm thankful for that. So we have here two words that I had you underline. Life. He has power to give life to those who are dead. And light, power to shine in a dark, dark being, you and me. I was thinking over there, and then there's a third word that could jump way ahead. So we have life, that's the answer to man's deadness. We have light, that's the answer to man's darkness. We should go over there to chapter 1, verse 29. The next day, John seeth Jesus coming to him, and he said, behold, the Lamb of God. Underline the word Lamb, that's the third word. That's the answer to man's need of deliverance. I want to say this reverently to you, but Mary had a little lamb. His name was Jesus. I thought of that. There are five unique passages in Scripture that deal with of the lamb. You'll think with me and think with me. Go to Genesis chapter 24 for just a moment. Or Genesis chapter 22. Turn there with me, if you will, please. There are five very unique passages dealing with the Lamb. And I want you to see, understand that. You write these down. They're five of them. And the one you see in John chapter 1, verse 29, is the fifth one. And there you have a, but go back with me, and I'm not going to turn to the first passage. In Genesis chapter 4, verse 3 and 5, you find the Lamb typified. You remember when Cain and Abel offered a sacrifice? And Cain offered the wrong one. He had to offer a blood sacrifice, and it was typified, it pictured Christ at the Calvary. Then you have here in Genesis chapter 22, you have the Lamb prophesied. First typified, a type of our Lord Jesus Christ. But here you have him. Look here. Look at verse 8 of chapter 22, when God told Abraham to offer his son. And Abraham said, my son, God will provide himself. Did you get those words? It didn't say God himself will provide, but God will provide himself. That's the Lamb prophesied. If you want to take time, and not this morning, but go over there to Exodus chapter 12, and you find the lamb specified. It could have done to have any blemishes in it with it. It had to be a perfect lamb to be selected because of the picture of Christ and all of his perfection. Then you have over there in Isaiah 53, guess what? You have the lamb identified. It's a person. Up to Isaiah 53, all you can think of is that little lamb, an animal. But you go to Isaiah 53, you realize it's a person. And you come to Matthew or John chapter 1, verse 25, you find it's Jesus Christ. So you have him typified in Genesis 4, and you have him prophesied in Genesis 22, and you have him personified in Isaiah 53. It's a person, and you have him identified in John chapter 1, verse 29. So you see here, now go back to our passage and look with me again in Genesis or in Matthew. I'll try it again. How about John? You can turn to Matthew, you can turn to Genesis, but I'll go turn to John. We see another thing. So we see here his person, we see his power to think. Our Savior came to provide life, light, and the Lamb to handle our sin. Now think with me as we move on down here. We not only see his person, we not only see his power, but we see his provision. Now think with me in I want to go back to John. I don't want to miss that. Look there in verse, I have the power. I want you to see something. Here's John. In verse 6, and there was a man sent from God. Now John was two things. He was a prophet, amen? And as a prophet, he represented God to man. But he was also born in a priest family. Therefore, he was man who represented, he was representing man before God. So as a prophet, he was representing God before man, and as a priest, representing man. To him, as I think about it. There was a man sent from God whose name was John. The same came for a witness to bear witness of that light. Now here you have a capital L because it's referring to Christ. That all men through him might believe. He was not the light, but was sent to bear witness of the light. Then verse 9, we come over here to a tremendous This was the true light which lighteth every man that cometh into the world. Now, I want to tell you something. Man is the only creature that God created that was made in his image. And God has revealed himself seven different ways. I want to give those to you. And man has. Number one, God has revealed himself. I'm sure you know this. God has revealed himself through what? Creation. Go over there to Matthew or Romans chapter 1 with me. You see this. I'm going to give you those seven, but there's only one of the seven by which you can get to heaven. But when I go over there to Romans chapter 1, go over there with me. Please note these. Look there, if you will, in verse 19. Because that which may be known of God, that's creation here, is made manifest, and God has showed it to them. For the invisible things of him from the creation of the world are clearly seen, being understood by the things that are made, even his eternal power and Godhead, so that they are without what? Without excuse. So God has revealed himself through creation. I hope you appreciate creation. I hope you do, but I think about one of my favorite times of the year, spring. At the winter's here, I'm a little more happy in spring, but just to see the magnificent things that God has created in blooming out and speaking of resurrection.
Amen.
Thank God for creation. Then I think here, secondly, God has revealed himself through man. Why? Because man was made in the likeness of God. We just had your ordination. He's not here, is he? He's downstairs. Okay. And we pointed out that somebody said body, soul, and spirit. And I said that's wrong. Does anybody know the proper order? What is it? That's right. Because other animals, other creatures have a body, and they have life, a soul, but only a Christian has a spirit. That's the part of you that communes with God because we are made in the image of God. Now that's our conscience. Y'all have a conscience, don't you? I have a conscience. You have a conscience, and we know that conscience is there because we are made in his image. Well, we know the image was ruined at the fall, but you still are made in the image of God. And when you got saved, guess where you got saved at? In your spirit. The spirit itself bears witness with our spirit that what? We're children of God. So we know that we have here, and I don't know about you, but I find a lot of people have never read their Bible all the way through. I read it through completely before I got saved. My problem was, I didn't understand a word I read. You know, it's rough to get the First Chronicles, even when you're saved, when you can't even pronounce those names. But I was looking for God. I never found him. It pricked my conscience.
Right.
And through conviction, I came to know Christ. So God has revealed himself first through creation. God has revealed himself. Secondly, God has revealed himself to men. And then thirdly, God has revealed himself to us. You go to Genesis chapter 6, just to give you an illustration of that. When God brought the flood, I think that was miraculous. The ark. The saving, you just see miracle after miracle. God has revealed himself through miracles. And then God has revealed himself through prophets. Turn with me to Genesis, Hebrews. Why do I keep going to the wrong passage? When you get old, you'll be stuck that way. Go to Hebrews chapter 1. So we know God has revealed himself through creation. Amen. God has revealed himself through man's makeup. He's the creature so different than other creatures that he made. God has revealed himself through miracles. And fourthly, God has revealed himself through prophets. Through prophets. Look over there in Hebrews 1. Verse 1. God, who at sundry times and in divers manners spake in time past to the fathers by what? Now, we don't have prophets today. You know that, don't you? We are a non-prophet. Spelled both ways. Non-prophet church. Spelled both ways. Real prophets today. Now, we'll have someone come along and try to claim that they're prophets. But somebody said, well, God revealed this to me. I'm still working on getting this one done. This revelation. But notice, if you will, the fifth one here in verse 2. Have in these last days spoken to us how? By his Son. Whom he had appointed heir of all things, by whom also he made the worlds. Jesus Christ is the name. God has given us two means. I say that our leaders too. Means by which we can get saved. Only through Jesus Christ.
Amen.
There is none other name under heaven given among men whereby we must be saved.
Amen.
If you believe that, why are you adding one more? I'm not adding one more that's not just there. The Word of God. That's number six. God has revealed himself through his Word. I believe firmly that you can't get saved without going through the Word of God. I've had people say, well, you know, I had this miraculous vision. And I always say, you ate too much pizza.
Yeah, right.
You can't get saved through a miraculous vision. You get saved through the Word of God. Faith comes by hearing, hearing by the Word of God. And I remember getting convicted at a revival meeting. And I went there, and the Word of God was preached, and I was so upset because that preacher had his nerve to preach about me. And I said, I will never go back there. Never, by the way, never say never. And I went home, and for two miserable weeks, I was convicted of his Word. And it worked on me. And I called 41 Worley Avenue. Did what the scriptures did, and I called upon the Savior. Now that's the sixth way. Fifth way is Christ, sixth way is Scripture, and you've revealed himself. We have a complete revelation. I don't know about you, but there's things in this book I'm still working on.
Amen.
Anybody here have it all down? I want to know who you are. You want to deal with liars. Now guess what the seventh way. It's the Christian. Turn with me to 2 Corinthians chapter 3. Chapter 3 of 2 Corinthians. I'll get to it eventually. These stands, preacher, never want to preach from these stands. But you want to get excited, you hit that, maybe it'll just go down. Go there, if you will, in verse 1. Do we begin again to commend ourselves, or need we, as some others, epistles of commendation to you, or letters of commendation from you? Ye are our epistle, written in our hearts, known and read of all men. Would you look back? People look at me. Now, you know what? The average person in the world is they are reading you and me. Now make sure you understand something. You could do 1,000 things right, but one thing wrong, guess what they're going to remember? The one thing wrong. I will forget years ago when I lived in Charleston, my neighbor who had been trying to win to Christ, and although he said he was saved, I really questioned it because he didn't have any interest in spiritual things. He called my wife and he said, I need to see John. I got something. I went over to see him. He said, John, he said, I just won the lottery. Several, 5,000 or something. He said, well, I want to give you $500. I looked at him. He looked at me and he said, you aren't going to take this off. I said, no, Rusty, I really can't. Because, you see, I don't believe in the lottery. And he said, well, I'll check with another preacher. And we became better friends. Now, I wonder what would happen if I said, oh, that's great, I could use five. I needed that $500. But I couldn't take that. Am I making sense? The only gospel some people will read will be you. So these are the seven ways that God has revealed himself. Now go back to our passage, if you will, there. So here is John. Now so we've looked already here at the person. We looked at the power. We looked at the provision. God has provided seven different ways. But the only way is through Jesus Christ as recorded in Scripture to be saved. Now think with me here. As we come on down here in verse 11. So let's pick up here at another thought. we want to notice here, if you will, please, these words. He came to his own received him not. This is a great verse, verse 12. But as many as received him, to them gave he power to become the sons of God, even them that believe on his name. Isn't that the simplicity of that statement? And yet, it's so profound. So profound to think that with his simplicity, you can be totally changed on all your way to heaven through Jesus Christ. Who was born not of blood, nor of the will of the flesh, nor the will of man, but of God. Now look there in verse 14. I'll have time to deal with all these, of course. Now there is a different word here in verse 14 that's different than in verse 1. In verse 1, in the beginning was, that's a tense of the verb, which means present past tense. But here, he became, that's present tense. Jesus was born. The price was always there. He had a birth here, and we want to take note of that birth here. And all the world was made, and he dwelt among us. Now, two thoughts there. Have you thought about it? There's five different ways God has created man. First of all, there is Adam. He was made out of dirt. You know you're nothing but dirt. He only knows that. Then he made Eve out of his rib, made woman out of his rib, and of course women have been ribbing us ever since. Right? And then I think of a third way. How about he had, through supernatural birth. When Abraham and Sarah, way past the ability to have children, God did a tremendous miracle. Fourth is through natural birth. That's the one we take for granted. I get a kick out of you people who, millenniums now, who have babies, and you want to show me that creature that looks like E.T. before it was born. How many have seen those? Of the discretions. The ugliest thing I've ever seen. And some of them, even after they're out of the womb, don't look much better. I will forget what my father-in-law said when my firstborn, Tim, was born. I mean, tell you, to me, he was the handsomest thing I've ever seen. My father-in-law standing next to me said, "That's the ugliest thing I've ever seen." Said, "You're right, Daddy. It's just like you." Then I remember when I'm sure you remember your children. You said, "What's going to be, a boy or a girl?" What was the doc's answer? "You're right, a boy or a girl." Now today, you can just tell everything. The natural birth, the phenomenon. I won't forget. Tim was born. I was in 24 hours. Marilyn was in 24 hour labor. I was in 48. I was preparing for final exams. I'm sitting in the waiting room. And I thinking, yes, exams. She was thinking, baby. And I missed this one exam by an hour. When I showed up, I'll never forget this dear lady. He said to me as I walked in the door, "Well, we'll see you next semester in the same class. The rule is here, if you miss the class, you take it over. If you miss the final, you take it over. You wouldn't do that, would you?" Well, as I walked out, she said, she was an ex-Army sergeant. Everybody was there. "Stevens," she said, "Stevens, get back in here." She said, "You look like you've been on a drunk." I'm in a Christian college at that time, and it's not much Christian now, but in those days it was. And she said, "Tell me why you missed the exam. I got to hear this stupid story." I said, "Well, my wife just had a baby." "How do I know you're telling the truth?" This is a Christian school. She said, bring that baby 3 weeks from now, and I'll let you take the exam. We brought him. She's always EQ. I thought, well, yeah. Now, she looked at me, she said, Stevens, you ready for this exam? I said, yes, ma'am. She said, you're lying. You're no more ready than you were 3 weeks ago. You passed. Get out of here. I wrote her a note, thank her. You understand what I'm saying? But here was a natural birth, but to me, it was the most wonderful, our firstborn. So we have here, but the fifth one is the greatest of all. First one, you remember, made out of dust, dirt. We have Eve, rib. We have natural, we have supernatural when Sarah had that child. There's the fifth one.
Amen.
Aren't you glad for the virgin birth?
Yeah,
because you see, that meant he had no human father. Guess what? He had no human sin. But he passed on to Adam to us. And we're dead in sin and pure in sin. And Jesus Christ was virgin born. Now we know there are preachers today and modernists who want to tell us that that's impossible. That's a myth. Well, they're mistaken. That's the truth of God's word. We may never forget. Come with me as we come back to our text here. So he was born. The word was made flesh and he dwelt. The word dwelt is from the word which tabernacle. The word for tabernacle. Immediately, I think of the tabernacle in the Old Testament. And we realize here it was there that God was sought. You wanted to seek God, you go to the tabernacle. It was also there salvation was taught. They took those blood sacrifices. Remember those animals and they slit their throat and offered that blood? It was not only sought, but it was taught. Salvation was taught. And it was there sacrifice was brought. And three words, sought, taught, brought in the tabernacle. And Jesus did all three of those. It's God seeking us, he sought. It's God, salvation was taught through Christ and brought to us. And I'm hallelujah for that. Go with me. Now look with me here in verse 15 because we see another truth here. And John bare witness of him and cried, saying, now get this verse 15 because there are three statements here that are very key in this fact. First of all, I want you to notice the person of his message. He said, John bare witness of who? Of him. The Bible's all about him. R.D. Hahn, I used to hear on the radio. How many know that name? R.D. Hahn, you know that name? He would say, he gravelly voice, every page of the Old Testament, you can see Jesus Christ somewhere. I say amen to that. I notice not only the person of him, but the preeminence. Preferred here, look there, he that cometh unto me is preferred before me. John. 6 months early. I see not only the person, the preeminence, but I notice the preexistence. Look here. And he cometh after me, is preferred before, for he was before. That's who he was. Think with me as we close this morning. We go down in verse 18. No man has seen God at any time. The only begotten Son, which is in the bosom of the Father, he had declared him. That's the word for exegesis.
He just, all he had to do was
to make known, which was not known to you before. And what did Jesus Christ come to make known? Three truths. come to make known the God of heaven. Go over to John 14. Just a couple minutes. John 14. Look there in verse 9. Jesus said unto him, I have been so much long time with you, and yet have not known me, Philip. He that has seen me has seen the Father. He made an exegesis of all God is. All that you can know about God. I want you to know here, we look here, the God of heaven, and then the guilt of man. Look at verse 17. Back up. For the law was given by Moses. And what did the law do? Reveal sin, the guilt of man. But not only Jesus come to reveal the God, to reveal guilt. Hallelujah. Reveal grace. Look at verse 17. And grace and truth came by Jesus. Aren't you glad for grace? How many have not sinned this week somewhere? Would you stand? When you stand, you have just sinned. Pride. Aren't you glad for God's grace?
Amen.
That's what Christmas message is all about. Now, let me make a statement. I don't know if you're familiar with an old writer now with heaven, Ian Thomas. How many of you are familiar with that name at all? He wrote me a book. You remember that name at all? Yeah. He's wrote a lot of good stuff. I heard him in the college that I was in. He made this statement as I close. Referring to Christ, he had to come as he came, born of the Virgin, in order to be what he was, a perfect man, inhabited by God. He had to be what he was in order to do what he did, die to redeem us. He had to do what he did so that we might have what he has, life. Let me give that to you again. He had to come as he came, born of a virgin, in order to be what he was, perfect. He had to be what he was in order to do what he did, die for our sins. He had to do what he did so that we might have what he has in life. That's the whole Christmas story. Father, thank you for your blessing. In Christ's name.